Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Meet Janice. Unfortunately, her thing is sneeze attacks every time spring returns.
I literally sneezed 40 times in a row once.
Luckily for Janice, at the Walmart pharmacy, she can get over-the-counter allergy relief for things like sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes fast with online pickup or delivery.
No more suffering? That's nothing to sneeze at.
I see what you did there. Help survive allergy season with fast online pickup or delivery from Walmart. Welcome to an easier pharmacy. Welcome to your Walmart.
You're listening to the Believe in Giants podcast with Giants legend Carl Banks and broadcaster Bob Papa.
Welcome to another edition of Believe in Giants. Bob Papa, two-time Super Bowl champion Carl Banks, and Giants hit their bye week and everybody's happy. Players get some time off. Coaches will get some time off. Two wins in a row, Carl, and it was an odd game on Sunday, but you know what? It's not an art show. It's a win.
It's not an art show, and it's a win. Like you said, it's a win and loss business, Bob, and you take them however you can get them. And, you know, you had two bad football teams playing, and one team did enough to win, and the other guy missed his field goal. Field goal kickers get paid too, you know. And so you tip your hat to – these players, these Giant players, they've really stepped up on their third quarterback. But when you look at what this defense has done over the last few games and creating double-digit turnovers, it's impressive. And that means that they're being complimentary, Bob. And again, I go on this platform and we try to call it as straight as possible. And I've been uber critical of the offensive line.
Yeah.
Or let me just say of the offensive line performance, right? Because I very rarely will mention a name unless it's something egregious. But their performance had not been great. And I said it's not sustainable. And I said that, you cannot let free runners get to your quarterback no matter who he is, if he's Houdini or not. I'm giving credit where it's due, because this offensive line over the last couple games has been much, much improved. And I say that, and people say, how can you say they're improved? They still gave up X amount of sacks. Well, here's the thing. There were no free runners like they were
in the
early part of the season. They weren't turning guys loose. Now, I'm not telling you that there is still not a talent deficit, but it helps a quarterback tremendously navigate the pocket when you got guys blocked or you got guys trying to block the guy that they're supposed to block, as opposed to just turning guys loose. And that is, I give this offensive line a great deal of credit. Probably helps that Andrew Thomas is there.
Yes.
But from an assignment standpoint, they are much improved. And yes, they're still giving up sacks, and that's a talent issue. They still have to upgrade talent. But the way they're playing and allowing the quarterback to navigate the pocket to the degree that he can, I think is improvement. So I just want to, I want to give a hat tip to those guys too.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things about it is all these sack numbers, all the sacks that DeVito's taken, and now over a four-game span or whatever it is, it's by far the most in the NFL. Some of it's on him, some of it's on the tight ends, the running backs, whatever. But you're right. It's the sacks are coming when, you know, guys are beating their guys pressure wise.
Not holding up, right? Yeah, they're not holding up.
They're holding up enough for him to start to at least take off or protect himself, which is allowing him to protect the football. Like he's not getting the Lawrence Taylor hit on Jay Schrader from the backside, or the one that Daniel Jones actually took earlier this year that hurt his neck.
Yep.
Not getting any of those whiplash shots. And, you know, he made some really nice throws to Jalin Hyatt in this football game. Obviously hit Hodgins on that one pass play, gave him an opportunity to get a touchdown. Like, he did have a couple drops in the game, did DeVito. And he missed some, like going back to look at the coaches tape. Like, they had one where they had Slayton lined up in the slot and they're in shotgun. And he might've been a little bit too locked in on the receiver that was split wide left and doesn't see Slayton on the deep over. But he'll learn about that. You know, it's almost like he took like an extra half step on his drop back, and that was just enough for pressure on the right side to force him in. Sure. But that's learning stuff, right? You go to the tape, you look at it, you understand it, and you realize, hey, I might have that again. I got to cut that loose. I got a message for our fans out there. Football's back. Bet Online's your number one information source for all your sports wagering info, with up to the minute stats, news, scores, and matchup breakdowns. Get the latest game odds, spreads, and totals from the NFL and college football at your fingertips with Bet Online's real time updates on stats, news, and odds. From week one all the way to the college football playoffs and Super Bowl, Bet Online is going to give you access to the best football promotions and contests available anywhere online. So head to the website today or use your mobile device. Get in on the action. Remember, use the promo code BELIEV, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Sure. And that, I guess that is the advantage of being a mature rookie. You know, he'll be able to process that and make those adjustments. But you know, the reason he was undrafted is, you know, there are several reasons why, but he still earned his way onto a roster, and he's going to make a nice career for himself. And because he has the ability to make those corrections. And I think the most admirable attribute that he has right now, he ain't turning the ball over.
He's
giving his team a chance. So look, we can celebrate Tommy DeVito, and it's been fun, it's been exciting, and the team is rallying around him, but it starts up front. This is not even a but. This is, by the way, it starts up front, and those guys are doing a much better job. And again, they're punching in their weight class, you know, and you know, these are the games that we expect them to compete in and to come out victorious. But there's still a talent deficit. They can't run the football the way they should be able to, because if they could, they'd probably have a larger margin of victory and probably more points on the board. I think when Evan Neal comes back, that gives them a little more punch up front. But I think, and this, here's the other thing too, Bob. They found something on the perimeter runs. They've hit them since the Dallas game. Late in the Dallas game, they started to hit those perimeter runs, and it gave some real good run lanes to Saquon Barkley to get wide and get vertical. They did it last week against Washington, and then they did it against the Patriots for two. They popped two big runs on them. And then all of a sudden, the Patriots start slanting the line. Well, the natural counter to that, which I think the Giants will get to after watching the film, is put in a little bit of a cutback. You know, let them start that way and belly all the way back, because the defense is going hard to try to stop Saquon Barkley. And that is the natural. You don't have to do anything different other than maybe turn one guy back.
Right.
And he's off and on his way. But you can't you can run it, but teams are going to compensate for it. So that's the next part of the growth of this team. And, you know, even in a lost season, you have to grow. You have to get better at things that you're going to be evaluated on going forward.
You know, the thing about DeVito, just kind of putting this all into context, is I think everybody, you know, it's fun you know, the Italian kid from New Jersey and Don Bosco and all this other stuff. And, you know, he's undrafted. But, you know, there's another component to this that, you know, we can't forget, right? Tommy DeVito didn't go, didn't make the Giants practice squad from Don Bosco prep.
Mm-hmm.
Or from, you know, community college in New Jersey. Like he was, you know, making sandwiches in a deli and work and playing at some community college in New Jersey. And then, you know, they got the Vince Papale tryout and he shows up and he makes it. He did play 5 years at Syracuse, which the last time I checked was in the ACC. And then he played his last year college ball at Illinois, which the last time I checked was in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
So it's not as if, you know, he's literally like Vince Papale or anything. He's played
at a high level. Yeah, he's played at a high level. And we must acknowledge that. You get to the league because you can play. Like you say, he's no Papale story. He's a guy who's earned his right onto a roster, and he's played at a high level in college.
Correct. I mean, even like, you know, Victor Cruz played at UMass, which is not on the same level as Syracuse and Illinois for sure. So good for Tommy DeVito. You talked about this defense. Look, we understand about this defense, right? They swarm, they create opportunities for turnovers, and they, when they're going against, you know, you always talk about this weight class thing, you know, they're taking advantage of the opportunities that are given them. Obviously when they've gone up against some of the better teams, specifically the Cowboys, it's been a big issue this year, but I like the development of the young players. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you look at what Devontae Banks is doing for this team right now. Flott has emerged as a guy that really
McLeod.
And I remember being in Detroit and Wink Martindale when the Giants were practicing there. And Wink was talking about, you know, guys on the defense or whatever like that. And he's like, you know, you watch. He goes, Jason Pennock is going to just keep getting better and better. And remember, Mike, you know, we always talk about how the Giants draft has failed in a lot of, over a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if Micah McFadden continues to grow and continues to improve as a player, let's not forget he was a fifth round pick. He wasn't a first round pick, and he's a fifth round pick with a stud guy playing next to him, developing into a nice player that I think if you're a fan, you got to be excited about what the potential is and what's the upside there.
Can we just like stop right there and just focus on a fifth round pick that was evaluated as a NFL player at linebacker to upgrade your room?
Meet Janice. Unfortunately, her thing is sneeze attacks every time spring returns.
I literally sneezed 40 times in a row once.
Luckily for Janice, at the Walmart Pharmacy, she can get over-the-counter allergy relief for things like sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes fast with online pickup or delivery.
No more suffering? That's nothing to sneeze at.
I see what you did there. Help survive allergy season with fast online pickup or delivery from Walmart. Welcome to an easier pharmacy. Welcome to your Walmart.
We've been looking for a linebacking core for the Giants for 10 years. Since Antonio Pierce, probably. Kavika Mitchell.
I'll give Michael Boley his props, too, because he wants to.
Boley was a free agent, though.
Right, yeah.
How many drafts have we seen fifth-rounders come and go, never really even see the field? And yet, you look at the talent that has been evaluated with this regime, and you say, okay, they're obviously doing something different. Because obviously Micah McFadden didn't do enough in college to warrant a third-round pick or second-round status. But I bet you what they saw is the exact same thing I've seen from day one. And he's a linebacker, and he knows how to find the football. And he can stand up on the edge and he can rush. He can blitz off the edge. But the number one attribute when evaluating linebackers, the number one attribute he should have, if he ain't got it, don't tell me about his body. Don't tell me how fast he is. And don't tell me how much he bench presses. If he can't find the effing football when it's snapped, that's all you got to do. If you want to see if a linebacker can play, cut on the film, watch the ball get snapped and see what he does. If he's moving towards the football, then you say, okay, now I can evaluate him on the rest of his skill set. If he ain't doing that, you're wasting time. And there has been a lot of waste of time at that position. And we were sold, oh, he's fast, or, oh, man, he runs a 40 in X, Y, and Z, or he can't find the football.
Yeah, and McFadden's gotten better at now, when finding the football, getting his man to the ground.
Yeah, I mean, that's the easy part. That's the easy part. I mean, you know, once, and I'm not going to say it had anything to do with me, but I just kind of put him aside when we were in Arizona, and I said, just bring your pads with you. You're a linebacker. It feels good to make those type of tackles. And he's doing it, and it's so much fun to watch both he and Bobby O play the position, because it's just refreshing to see it, competency in the middle of your defense.
Yeah, I mean, listen, McFadden's got 72 tackles, a half a sack, got an interception. He's got 10 tackles for losses. He's got 5 hits on the quarterback, 3 passes defended. Mm-hmm. 3 special teams tackles, and then Okereke's got 113 tackles, 2 interceptions, 4 forced fumbles, 9 tackles for a loss, a couple of quarterback hits, and 8 passes defended. That's what you're getting out of your 2 inside backers. It's been a long time since we've seen Giants backers, especially the inside backers, have numbers like that.
Yeah, that's a long production. Time. That is production, and that is a tribute to Joe Shane and his staff of evaluators. They obviously taking a different approach to how they look at talent. Brandon Brown, I mean, I really do hope that we can get our fan base a chance to sit and talk to those guys. And I tweeted that I wanted to do a Spaces. Well, we talked about it here, and have either Brandon or Joe on, and just talk about the process of how they evaluate, because it's different. And like you said, there between Joe and Brandon, there are no short answers. You ask a question, you're going to walk away a lot smarter than you thought you'd be when you asked that question, because they don't give you short answers.
No. Yeah.
Not cute. You know, they're not the cute know-it-all GMs where they just give you something and send you on your way, catchphrase. You know, off-ball linebacker this. No, they will give you a thorough answer to your question.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. You know, like, I'll be in the cafeteria, and it'll be in the morning, and you know, you're sitting there and you're thinking about, like, getting your coffee, getting ready to do my serious show or maybe this podcast, and first thing Brandon and I will chat about is, you know, how Fordham did, because he's a Fordham grad. He played at Fordham. I went to Fordham many years before him. And then I'll just ask him like a question. And it is a well thought out answer. Yeah. You know, like right in the middle of the cafeteria, players are all in getting breakfast and I'm grabbing my coffee, and he stops and he thinks and he gives you this answer that's like you walk away from and you go, all right, wow, I kind of see that. I get that.
And he ain't selling you a crock of crap either. I mean, no. He's giving you, like, you can tell. And I'm not casting dispersions on any other regime's talent evaluators, but when you get answers from these guys, you could tell they're living it. They're in the moment of it. And it's not an inconvenience for them to answer. And if it is, they'll just say, I'll get back to you. But they're just different. And we say all of this to say, folks, when you want to throw out a season just so you can draft the player that you want. Just understand, these guys get it. They understand. And I think, as Joe Shane said yesterday, they knew it wasn't going to be an overnight build. There are going to be hiccups. But you look at the rest of the pieces that are continuing to develop, as because it's not football. Football is not a sport where one guy makes a difference if the rest of the pieces aren't in place. You're never one guy away until you're 52 guys there. It's just that simple.
The other thing, too, is, you know, Joe Shane had his presser, Dable had his presser at the facility on Monday before the bye. And, you know, they're 12 games into the season, so they have 5 games left in the season. And he's doing it. He's got to do a dance there because, first of all, you're not going to reveal all of your offseason plans to the media in November. Plus, at the end of the season, they will have organizational meetings after the players are graded and the players leave. As far as, you know, what these last 5 games showed, what they're all thinking, and they have meetings, you know, every week, you know, every day about all this stuff. But, you know, he was a little coy in, you know, what his thought process is, and rightfully so. I mean, you're not going to reveal it, everything that you're thinking or feeling in these press settings. But, you know, one of the things I really admired about Joe Shane is, look, the Giants have stabilized their punt return system with Gunnar Olszewski. And he admitted, he said, look, that's on me. Like, we made some decisions. And could we have done it again? We thought what we saw out of Gray in college might translate for punt return. And then, you know, he was asked about Jamison Crowder, who's done a fine job for the Commanders. And then they finally got Olszewski in there. And he said, look, hey, that's 100% on me. We needed to do a better job of sort of addressing that problem sooner, or whatever the case might be. And I think if you're a fan, you got to at least like that openness that he shared with everybody about that specific situation.
Accountability, Bob.
Accountability. It's a good point. It's a good word. Hey, can I go? Can I take this in a different direction? Because we do the Giants post game show right after the game. We're a part of it. And I thought you made some very intelligent points. Jay Glazer, who we've known for a long time, you know, broke this story about the tension and the in-house hostility between the head coach and the defensive coordinator. And, you know, Dabes diffused it after the game. He just said, you know, our biggest argument's about the last slice of pizza or whatever. You played under Bill Parcells, who was known to wear out assistant coaches. Yeah. But this was in an era before social media, before things got out. So if there was something, you'd have to wait until the next day to read it in a newspaper. Didn't always have the same kind of traction. And then not the same kind of instant reaction. And you shared some stories about playing for Coach Parcells with Bill Belichick, who's going to walk into the Hall of Fame. He's going to moonwalk into the Hall of Fame when the time comes. That what was reported by Jay Glazer, whether, you know, however true it is or where the truth lies in all of it, but like, this is really not that uncommon.
No, it's not. Well, the coaches that I've been around, it's not. I've had, I've witnessed on more than one occasion per season in multiple seasons, Bill Parcells firing on the sidelines, firing his coordinator. If it doesn't work, you're effing fired. I told you it wasn't effing working. Offensive coordinator, what are you calling? Why the F you calling that? What's wrong with you? If you know what? After this game, don't bother coming back. You know, those are conversations that are had. And if you win, it's a you know, it's just an ice cold stare for a week, and then they get back to work. If you lose, he's going to keep reminding you that you ain't calling the type of game that he wants you to call. And here's the thing, folks. You give up, you have a defense that gives up 600 yards in a game, 600 plus yards in a game. Nobody wants that to happen. Wink doesn't want that to happen, right? But when you lose, you start losing players during the course of the game, and the head coach asks you, what are you doing? What you're running? Because we just lost Thibodeau. We just lost our corner. We just lost our nickel. What are we doing? And you're not giving the right answer, but you're still running the same play. Head coach is going to be pissed off. That's what happens, right? And it's Wink Martindale's defense. It's Brian Daboll's team. So they're going to clash. It's Mike Kafka's offense. It's Brian Daboll's team. It's all the coordinators from special teams, offense, defense. They all have their responsibilities, but it's still the buck stops with the head coach. And when the head coach is pissed about something, he's going to let you know. And you might have a sense of pride about it, but ain't nobody losing their jobs when you're getting, what, 15 takeaways in three games, something close to that. You're keeping an offense in the game. And yes, I think Wink would say, you know what, in hindsight, I probably should have played a little more zone because I had guys that hadn't been used to being in there. I thought they could get it done, and they can't. And when you look at what they're doing now, they're mixing some things up, and he's given some of his young players a chance to have some success. And then the other part of it, your good players, you got to trust, right? And so when you have to make some adjustments in some other areas, you got to trust that your good players can step up and you don't have to be as risky. But these things happen. I won't dispute that maybe they were in a bad place after the Dallas game. I'd be in one too. You know, it's just that simple. Maybe they were. I don't think it was to a point to where I'd be shocked to where you're ready to fire a guy. Yeah, he had a bad day. I mean, his team had a bad day. The whole team had a bad day, but defense gave up 600 fucking yards. Like, that ain't good. Wink wasn't happy about it either, but he got his ass reamed by the head coach. It's simple. Simple. And, yeah, I wouldn't be in a good place after that. Right? And then when you want to ask questions, the head coach has the ability and the right to ask questions. What are we doing now that we got all these players out? Are you changing up? Are we giving ourselves a chance? Well, it looks like Wink's made some adjustments, and he obviously got some players back, but he made some adjustments, and they're doing all right.
Correct. And let's once again put this in layman's terms here. Most people that are watching this podcast have some job of their own, mm-hmm. and there's a hierarchy within the company that they work, and everybody has a boss, and their boss has a boss, and you're in a division, and there's some tension within the division.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you may want to do something your way and you feel it's effective, but your boss says we need to do it this way. You may resist, and the boss may come back at you and say, no, here's how we're going to do it. Mm-hmm. When you have my job or move up in the company, and I hope you do, then you can run it the way you see fit. But right now, at the end of the day, it's on me. It's my record within the business. So you conform. You conform. Yeah. That's pretty much what it does. It's called the chain of command.
And until you have a team.
Correct.
So you got to be a part of the team, and the leader of that team is kind of setting tone for how he wants his team run.
So obviously the Giants are off this week. Their next opponent will be the Packers. We'll get into that next week. But they'll play the Packers. The Packers play a Sunday night game against Kansas City. And look, the Giants have some nice momentum. Keep stacking wins. I think that's something that true Giant fans are going to be excited about. And if you trust Joe Shane and Brendan Brown and Brandon Brown and the rest of the I said Brendan because I got a text from Brendan Brown, who I used to work with at the Nets, who, by the way, sent you a big compliment. He was listening to the game on the way home on Sunday, and he enjoyed your commentary.
Thanks, Brendan.
Whether it was Brandon Brown and the entire group, you know, we've seen some of these draft picks start to mature a little bit, and you have to just trust who they're going to pick, when they're going to pick, and how they evaluate it, right? I mean, Mahomes went 10th. Josh Allen went 7th. I'm just using that as an example.
To further expound on that point, picking players is not an exact science. So because you pick one, three, or five for year after year after year, doesn't guarantee you success. And I'm using this as an example of the Jets pick. They got three quarterbacks in the top five. None of them have had success. And I'm sure from a fan base perspective, they thought the next guy was the guy.
Sanchez, you're talking about? Sam Darnold and now Zach Wilson.
Yeah. So there's no guarantee unless you have confidence in your coaching and your ability to develop players. So, and some of it is on the player as well. So when you look at the trajectory of the players that were drafted by this team, the McFaddens of the world, the McClouds, the Flocks, all of you got, even Jalen Hyatt, right? Even, you know that they kind of got it figured out. So you got to trust that wherever they're going to draft, they feel it's the right player to draft at that spot. Right. And let the season play out. Whatever's available at that spot that they feel, or if they feel they have to move in or out of that position, trust that they have a plan, because they're the building blocks that are starting to blossom. You're starting to see some blooms from the seeds that were planted. Let them continue to do that. Look, your team, I guess everybody's under the realization now, I've come to the realization that the team ain't tanking. So start looking at your draft boards and seeing what's available beyond the one player that you wanted. And I keep saying that. It's not just about that one pick. Look at the Giants roster as they fill it out and the guys that are developing. It was never about the one pick. In that, they are not one player away. They're probably 40 players away from being one player away. And that's how you got to look at it.
All right. So today is we're recording this on Tuesday. Today is the 28th of November. And you've got a big thing coming up.
And you have
on
no
the 29th.
Idea. Yes.
Black Ice, the starter brand, NHL look for the National Hockey League. And you got a lot of cool things going on at the store.
If you guys are in town, and oh, by the way, everybody that has sent me their vintage starter hockey stuff, I have your email. I mean, not your email. I have your post. I saved them, and I will be DMing, getting addresses, because I want to send everybody a little something from the Black Ice collection. But we drop the Black Ice collection at the NHL flagship store tomorrow. It's a day party, so come out. It's from 2 to 7. It's a lot of fun stuff. So my friends, Don LaGreca and Michael Kay from the Michael Kay Show are broadcasting live from the event. I've got the Islanders DJ, the lovely DJ Rhea, is doing all of the music. And man, I got a special guest who's going to be there. I get a chance to interview him, Johnny Lazarus from the Blue Crew, our own Believe family. But that's not my biggest guest. But I wanted to make sure that the Blue Crew was there representing Believe. And that's if you guys are hockey fans, tune in to the Blue Crew. They talk Rangers, all things hockey, but Rangers. But my big guest, PK Subban.
Ooh.
PK Subban is going to be in the house. He's going to sign a few pucks. He's going to answer a few questions. He's going to hang out. So if you guys are in town, and if you got people coming to town for the tree lighting, they can come to this party first and then go to the tree lighting, or come to this party first and go with me to a Rangers game, because I'm taking a few people with me to the Rangers game as well.
What, the Rangers play tomorrow night?
Yes, sir.
So we're taping this on the 28th. This is Wednesday, the 29th. Obviously, 29th. People download the podcast and they'll watch it later in the week and they'll be like, well, wait, when is it? Well, you missed it. If you're watching this, if you're watching this on Wednesday night, the 29th, then you missed the event. So you got the Michael K show there.
Yeah.
You have our buddy Don LaGreca, who fills in on Rangers radio, doing the play-by-play on the Rangers. And you're going to have Sirius. You know, I'm a crazy Rangers fan. Like, the Rangers and the Yankees are the two teams that I can sit and watch, you know, on a night-in, night-out basis. And I'm no different than a Giants fan. I have crazy theories about things that go on with the team. I have wildly passionate feelings about players on the team one way or another. It's irrational. I'm a fan of those two teams. It's my release. It's my sports release, because I work so many other sports where you have to look at it through the professional eye. But for the Rangers, because I don't do anything in hockey and I haven't for a long time, and the same thing with baseball with the Yankees, I can just kind of let myself go. So I'm excited about this event.
Yeah. Oh, and guys, if you're listening to this podcast today, the 28th, tune in. Follow us on Twitter anyway, on X. I got a really cool Black Ice spot. Speaking of Don LaGreca, we did our Black Ice commercial that we did. Don LaGreca murdered it. The name of the commercial is called The Call. And you'll see why it's called The Call, but it is just ridiculous. And it'll get you excited about this collection and about this event, about all things Black Ice. It's really cool.
You gave me a sneak peek. It's really awesome. It's well done. It's well edited, well shot. LaGreca does kill it. So do the actors that you have.
Listen, those are real life hockey players in this, but they are your average Joes. And Nicole, our co-worker at the Giants, her two sons grew up playing hockey. And then I got Nikki Sticks, who drives a Boar's Head meat truck, who was a pretty good hockey player back in the day. So we got the boys together, and Don makes the call. It's nice. Gonna be pretty cool. Pretty cool.
So you got a bunch of you got a bunch of DeVitos now for the hockey thing too.
There we go.
Jersey guys. Oh, by the way, just in wrapping it up, you had a great line on the post-game show when we were talking about the win against the Patriots and the Giants defense and the god-awful quarterback play that the Patriots have. Tommy DeVito was by far, and you don't even have to be a Giants fan to say this, a Patriots fan would say this to you, Tommy DeVito was by far the best quarterback on the field at MetLife Stadium on Sunday. I mean, it's not even close. Bill Belichick might agree with that. But what was the term that you dubbed after the game?
Well, because Bill Belichick doesn't lose to rookie quarterbacks, I said, well, Belichick and the Patriots got DeVito'd. Let's see how many other teams can get DeVito'd.
Yeah, he got DeVito'd coming off a bye, too.
Yeah.
He wish he had DeVito after watching his guys play.
I'm sure. Yeah.
All right, so good luck with the event. Wednesday, November the 29th, 2 to 7 p.m., NHL Store in Manhattan.
Yep, right behind Penn Station. It's the Monahan, like on 9th Avenue. If you're behind, if you're on 9th Avenue coming, going downtown, you'll see it. It's in Hudson Yards, basically.
Gotcha.
All right. 2-7, be there. I'm taking a few people to a Rangers game with me too. So, and all the folks that posted their starter, vintage starter hockey, we'll be DMing and I'm getting your address and I'm sending you a piece of the collection. If you're not in New York and you need to get the Black Ice, Rangers.com, Lids.com, Starter.com, YourFavoriteTeam.com will have it.
All right. That's cool. I wish I was in town for this thing. That would have been fun.
That'd be good.
All right. How do we like to end it?
Tell a friend to tell a friend.
Believe in Giants.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.